This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. Jazakallah khair for joining me again for another Thursday night Facebook Live. It's me, Abdurrahim Green. Alhamdulillah, and tonight we have a very, very interesting topic. It's called the False Hope Syndrome. What is this all about? What is the False Hope Syndrome all about? It's very, very interesting. And for all of those of you who have plugged into masteryclasses.com, and any of you have done the 7 Pillars of Willpower course, you will know it's a module. I think it's module 11. The False Hope Syndrome is a whole module in the Willpower course. The False Hope Syndrome is something in psychology that is particularly insidious. It's particularly nasty because it appears to be willpower, but it's not. It actually undermines it a lot. And all of us experience it, and it's something very, very dangerous for us. Very dangerous in our religion, something that we have to be very, very careful of. So I want to talk about the False Hope Syndrome, how it affects us as Muslims. What does the False Hope Syndrome mean? How does it affect us as Muslims? I also want to talk about what is real hope in Islam, because hope is there in Islam. So let me just talk about False Hope Syndrome, and let me describe to you what it is. It's really about we decide I'm going to change. I am going to change. A person, we love change. We love to think that we're going to make these amazing, dramatic, vast improvements in our life. And, you know, this happens in Ramadan. I'm sure so many of us, we are determined. This Ramadan is going to be different. I'm going to read the whole Quran like 3 times with the translation. And I'm going to go to Tarawih prayers every single night. And alhamdulillah, this is going to change me this Ramadan. I'm going to be a different person Ramadan. And, you know, many, many non-Muslims, for example, many even maybe some Muslims, New Year's resolutions. This is the most famous thing that people make, all these New Year's resolutions, how they're going to change their life. They're going to go to the gym. They're going to lose weight. They're going to get fit. And of course, most of the time, it falls flat on its face. We never achieve those things that we set out to do. And so that's the False Hope Syndrome. Now, actually, it's something we love it. We love to make this intention that we're going to change this. You know, yeah, I'm going to do it. And actually, that makes us itself feel really, really good. This idea that we're going to change, just the thought of changing. Actually, when people just think about making changes in their life, they give themselves permission to do things that normally they wouldn't even do. They give themselves permission to sin. We talked about this in a former Facebook Live, by the way. We talked about that, called the halo effect. So this permission giving, this idea that we're doing something virtuous, and we all do it. Yeah, I went for a jog. I went for a run. I went to the gym. I deserve that tub of ice cream. I've done that. I fasted all day. I can stuff my face full of pakora and whatever I like. And you know, I go to the Tarawih prayers and I'm standing there. I feel so full. And I just about, I'm going to puke. I feel so full. But you know, I deserve it because I've been fasting all day. And you know, this can go through many, many different things in our life. So this is permission giving. This is giving ourselves permission to do bad because we think we've done good. Now, the False Hope Syndrome is actually connected to that, because people, it's been shown through surveys and studies and statistics, that even if people think about changing, even if they think about doing good, that is enough for them to give themselves permission to do things that they wouldn't do, that are against their goals and objectives. And I talk about this. This is very, very important. I talk about it in my course, 7 Pillars of Willpower. How do you deal with it? I break it down and I talk about how to deal with that. So the reality is, you see, we don't really realize how hard change is. This is part of the problem. Most of us underestimate how difficult it really is to change. Change takes effort. Change takes work. Change takes dedication. It takes willpower. It takes perseverance. This is what it takes. And actually, the other thing that most of the time change needs is regular application. And this is why the Prophet Muhammad, may God's peace and blessings be upon him, said that the deeds that God loves the most, that Allah loves the most, are the ones that are done regularly, even if they are small. Because it is these regular things, this regular commitment, that brings about real change in our life. So what we do, brothers and sisters, we get high. We get high from fantasizing about the changes that we're going to make. And no doubt, some people, some of you who may be listening, some of those brothers and sisters who have even paid money and bought my Seven Pillars of Willpower course, I know that some of them have probably done it just for that reason. They thought, yeah, I'm going to buy this willpower course. It's going to change my life. I'm going to be the person I need to be. And they couldn't even be bothered. They couldn't even commit themselves to watch a 1 to 5, well, okay, say 3 minutes, 5 minutes. I think the longest video in my course is 11, 12 minutes. They couldn't even do that. And how do I know? Because I can actually see the statistics of the people who've watched the videos. And in quite a few videos, only 80% of people have actually watched them. That means 20% of people haven't done it. And I even say in my, I think if you look in the landing page, that if you click masteryclasses.com, the sort of web page that you go to that describes the course, in one of the things I talk about false hope syndrome, and I say it may even be the reason you're going to purchase this course. So I realize that, right? People love this idea that I'm going to change, I'm going to be successful. But it takes work and it takes dedication. This is the reality. Now, we Muslims, I think lots of people actually love this idea of false hope. So you notice that in the poster for this Facebook Live, if you check my Facebook page, you'll see that I had a picture of Obama, that famous poster of Obama with hope. And that really said it all to me, because, you know, with the case of democracy, democracy is a classic. Like every 4 years or 5 years or whatever it is, 6 years in some democracies, whatever, you know, everyone gets this chance to make, you know, to make believe, to fantasize that some amazing change is going to happen. It doesn't matter whether it's Obama or whether it's Trump. I wasn't picking on Obama. It's just that he had his poster had this word hope on it. Whether it's Obama, whether it's whether it's Trump, whoever it may be, comes along and makes all these promises. These politicians, they're always making promises, promises, promises. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And, you know, for a bit we start thinking, yeah, you know, everything's going to change. Everything's going to get better. And of course, it never does. It doesn't change. It doesn't get better. And it doesn't really make it seem to make any difference who gets into power. Things stay pretty much the same. And why? Again, because real change takes hard work. It takes a type of hard work and dedication and commitment that in reality, most people are simply not ready to put that in. They just rather fantasize. And we Muslims were addicts for it. That's why my first Facebook Live or my second Facebook Live was on what was it on? A Dajjal. And, it was about, you know, the end of days. And we love that. Oh, we love these, you know, these talks about the last days and the conspiracy theories. And so many Muslims, they say, oh, we'll wait for Isa to come. We're going to wait for Isa to come. And when Isa comes, Islam will be established and we're waiting for the Mahdi to come. When the Mahdi comes, he's going to sort everything else. He's going to sort everything else. All we need is the Khilafah. We just have the Khilafah and, you know, everything's going to be okay. We just need an Islamic state. We have an Islamic state and everything's going to be good. This is a classic example of false hope syndrome. It is a deception. It is a lie. We are just fooling ourselves. We are fantasizing. Of course, I'm not denying that Isa is going to return. I'm not denying the Mahdi, the hadith about the Mahdi. I'm not denying the Islamic obligation of the Khilafah or the need for Muslims to rule by the guidance of Allah. No, don't get me wrong. But we fantasize that these things are going to bring about this great change. Whereas in reality, brothers and sisters, it works the other way around. We have to change first. You see, the Mahdi, for example, what is he going to do? He's just going to be there on his own, by himself? Is that what you think? He's just going to be standing there, like with maybe holding some bolts of lightning, or I don't know, whatever, like to chuck at people? What do you think is going to happen? He's just going to be standing there by himself, no humans with him, no people with him. Come on, wake up. The same with Isa alayhi salam. How do you think this goodness is going to be established upon the earth? Like with what? The goodness is going to be there because there are going to be good people behind them. That's the reality. Even Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the best of all created beings, he wasn't on his own. Allah gave the companionship of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. His companions were the best of the human beings after the prophets. Giants, legends like Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali. These great legends, these rightly guided khulafa, but not just them. Thousands of human beings who were in each one in their own right, if they were alive in our time, would be a total legend. Subhanallah, people of real piety and real sincerity and real dedication and real commitment. And how did they get to that place? They worked really, really hard. They suffered. They went through trials. They went through tests. They went through tribulations. You know, I was thinking about this. I was thinking about how short our lives are, brothers and sisters. Our lives are so short. And I was thinking, subhanAllah, in 20 years, look what Allah allowed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to achieve in 20 years. 20 years. I've been a Muslim now for 30 something years. I'm thinking about, subhanAllah, in 20 years. That's a very, very short period of time. And you know what? We sit down and we study the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you know, maybe in a couple of weeks, we read a seerah. You know, how long will it take us to read a book of seerah? How long will it take us to listen, if we listen every day or a couple of day times a year? How long will it take us to listen to a podcast of the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Oh yeah, that's the life of the Prophet. No, I mean, you have to think what the Prophet, 2 years. I just want you to think about 2 years, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. 2 years when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and Khadija and his daughters and Bani Hashim were isolated and put in a valley. And they were not allowed to marry. No one was allowed to trade with them. Their situation was so desperate that they had to eat leaves from the trees. 2 years. That's just a little bit of what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went through. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was surrounded by companions, and these people were dedicated to self-discipline, self-mastery, self-purification, acquiring taqwa, being sincere, and translating that into real actions. So because of these qualities, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them victory. So brothers and sisters, it's all hard work. Don't think the Mahdi is going to come along and solve it. Because if there's no one there to support the Mahdi won't be coming unless there's someone to support him. And those people to support him have to be people of real piety, real iman, real ihsan, real taqwa. That's the reality. And unless we take those steps and unless we start making that effort, the world is going to keep being a mess. And you and me, we're all going to be in a mess. Brothers and sisters, I just want to pause very quickly. Please, I want to ask you to share this video, because what I'm talking about tonight is very, very, very important. The false hope syndrome is very, very important. So in the second part of the talk, I want to move on to some other ways in which we deceive ourselves. So please share this video. You never know, if you share this video and someone, as I always mention, someone watches it, someone gets inspired, someone gets motivated, someone changes their life just because you shared this video, then subhanAllah, you will get the reward and you will share in the blessings of that. So brothers and sisters, please don't forget to share this video. If you got any questions, if you got anything, don't forget to comment, inshallah, we'll get back to you, okay? So that's one thing I talked about. We talk about the Muslims. Now, the other thing, that's just big things. You know, the Mahdi is going to come. He's going to solve everything. Isa is going to come. The Khilafah, the Islamic State, these false hopes that we have, right? That these things in and of themselves, they're going to do some magical change without us making the effort. No, We have to make the effort. We have to struggle. We have to strive. It's non-stop. We have to keep struggling, struggling to get closer to Allah, struggling. And that it is a struggle. It is a fight. It is difficult. It is hard. There's no doubt about it. Let us not fool ourselves. Okay? So all we can do, all people like me can do, all the du'at and the scholars, and all we can do, we can present you the information. We can give you the guidance. We can present the information to you. We can present the guidance to you. We can try and break it down for you to make it easier for you to understand. We can try and create programs for you to follow. That, but at the end, brothers and sisters, you have to make the choice. You have to make the decision. You have to watch those videos. You have to implement what they are teaching. This is what is key and this is what is important. Alhamdulillah. But the biggest way that we trick ourselves, brothers and sisters, the biggest false hope, for this is for us as Muslims, because the false hope syndrome is a general psychological problem for human beings. This is something that all human beings, we have this psychological problem. But I want to hone in now specifically, drill down, as they say, drill down a bit deeper to look in different ways, other ways that we Muslims apply this false hope syndrome in a way to our own detriment. So the biggest thing, you all know it, is we think about, I'm going to commit a sin and then I'll repent later. This is the biggest false hope syndrome. This idea that I can commit sins, I can do wrong things, and then, you know what, I can repent. I can just make tawbah to Allah. I can make hajj, I can make umrah, Ramadan is coming. This is exactly the false hope syndrome. And I want to explain why from two different angles. So the first angle is the angle of a person who thinks like this does not understand the nature of sin. He doesn't understand the enemy that he's up against. This person doesn't understand their nafs. And this person does not understand how shaitan works. If you are thinking like that, and look what Hassan al-Basri said. Listen to what Hassan al-Basri said. Hassan al-Basri, he is a true legend, a great giant. He's one of the Tabi'een, meaning he's someone who learned from the companions. He said, the heart becomes corrupt through six means. So he mentions a sin in the hope of repenting. So this is one of the things that he mentions that corrupts the heart. One of the things that corrupts our hearts, corrupts our minds, corrupts our understanding, warps our perception. It makes us misunderstand things and see the world not in the true way. So one of those things is committing a sin in the hope of repenting. This is different from a person who commits a sin and then repents, because a person who commits a sin and does so, you know, they are overcome with temptation, they're overcome with desire. Maybe, as any one of you studied my, you know, you know about, you studied dopamine, you get this dopamine surge. It can actually make you feel sometimes like you're possessed. Although I teach strategies, even free video, look on my YouTube channels, three free videos, mini willpower course. Check it out there. Cat, the counter ambush training. How can you deal with these dopamine surges that seem to possess you and like you just want to do these haram things? So this is one thing, right? This is one thing. You, out of forgetfulness, you sin out of forgetfulness, but there is a different approach. The different approach that kills the heart is when you are planning your sins, you're thinking about your sins, and you think, yeah, I'm going to do this sin and then I'll repent. And who doesn't do that, brothers and sisters? Be honest. Who doesn't do that, right? We have to give that up. And that is part of the false hope syndrome. It is a false hope. And I'll tell you why. Because it means a person who thinks like that, number one, doesn't understand the nature of sin. The nature of sin, brothers and sisters, is that it corrupts you. That you have to understand this. And the nature of a sin that is done with the intention of repenting, that is even more corrupting. It is more corrupting. It corrupts you even more, because really you're planning the sin and you're fooling yourself and you're trying to fool Allah. You are lying to yourself, and this is very, very dangerous. So the nature of sin, what does a sin do? Every time you commit a sin, it puts a black spot on your heart. This is a small sin. If it's a really bad sin or a kufr, maybe some sins can seal your heart altogether. This is what you have to realize, brothers and sisters. You never know what sin you do will cause your heart to be sealed. And when your heart is sealed, that means the light of guidance will not penetrate it anymore. You will not listen anymore. You will not anymore really, you will not appreciate what is right and what is wrong, what is good and what is evil. You don't, except that it fits your desires. It fits your nafs, right? This is the problem. And you never know what sin is going to corrupt you like that. This is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he warned us about the evil of the tongue, about the things that you say, that Allah, a man is sunk to the deepest part of the hellfire. The deepest part of the hellfire. Because he said something. He didn't even realize. He didn't even realize how bad it was. But because of it, Allah puts him in the deepest part of the hellfire. So this is the thing about sins, brothers and sisters. Right? Sins corrupt the heart. And when your heart is corrupt, you don't feel inclined to repent. You feel inclined to commit more sin. And when you commit more sin, your heart gets darker. And the possibility of you repenting becomes more and more and more and more remote. This is the reality. This is the reality. And even if you do say things like astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, you don't mean it. You don't mean it. Because the reality is, brothers and sisters, if you're thinking like that, that I can commit a sin and I'll repent afterwards, in reality, you don't really think that sin is so bad. You don't really think it's that bad. Okay, so this is the first thing. So this is why the heart becomes corrupt through this false hope mentality. I'm going to sin and then I'll repent after I've committed my sins. Okay, so another thing, I mentioned the six things, not part of the Facebook Live today, but I'll mention the six things anyway. Okay, so that's a sin in the hope of repenting, seeking knowledge and not applying it. This is a whole talk in and of itself. Practice without sincerity. We talked about that last. Do you remember we talked about that in the last Facebook Live? Okay, we talked about that. Fake religion. That's all it was. If you haven't heard it, check it out. You can listen to it on YouTube or right here on my Facebook page. Fake religion. Okay, religion without sincerity. Practicing without sincerity. Okay, eating the sustenance of Allah without appreciating Him. What does that mean? Very quickly, eating the sustenance of Allah. You mean you eat the food that Allah has given you. You breathe the air that Allah has blessed with you. You see with the eyes that He has given you. You hear with the ears that He has given you. You speak with the mouth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. You drink what He has given you from His bounty. And what do? Then you use all of that to commit haram. That is ingratitude to Allah. Right, that is the bounties of Allah that you take on board these bounties. But what do you use all of this stuff for? You use it for something other than what is pleasing to Allah. This is what kills the heart. Okay, and burying the dead and not learning from them. That you see the dead buried and you don't learn the lesson. You don't learn the lesson that your life is short. And this is another reason. That's the second reason I wanted to go. Why committing sins with the idea of repenting? What is false about that? Because you never know when you're going to die. You never know when you're going to die. This is the thing. People have this illusion. People imagine, yeah, I'm going to live. I'm going to live till I'm 60. I'm going to live till I'm 70. Then I'll make Hajj. Oh, inshallah, this Ramadan, I will change. How do you know that you will live to make Hajj? How do you know you will live until next Ramadan? Look at the numbers, the thousands and thousands of people right now who are dying in Syria. Children, young men, young women, right now. Look how many people are dying. Look how many people die. They die in car accidents. They die of drug overdoses. They get stabbed in the street. I heard about one Muslim, you know, boy. May Allah give him Jannah. May Allah comfort his family. 13-year-old boy stabbed in front of his mother in East London. In East London, it's not Iraq. It's not, some Somali or whatever they keep saying. These are such terrible countries. This is in London, so-called civilized London. This is what's happening. How do you know? How do you know? How do you know you're not going to be turned into a vegetable? How do you know your heart will not be sealed? So this is the false hope syndrome, brothers and sisters. Let us not have that attitude. Let us not think like that. We can change and we must change, and we have to accept that it's going to be hard work and it takes commitment. Don't think about sins in the way that I can sin and I can repent. If you find yourself thinking like that, you need to catch yourself, you need to stop yourself, you need to remind yourself, you need to fear Allah, you need to remind yourself, maybe I will die. You remind yourself, maybe Allah will seal my heart, maybe I will not, maybe I will, that was it, I will become lost and I will not make repentance because I will be lost. You need to remind yourself of these things, okay? So let us then talk about what is real hope, because hope is part of our religion. Hope is a very important thing and we should hope in Allah. Absolutely. We hope for Jannah, we hope for victory, we hope for success in this life and the next, we hope for forgiveness. But the hope here, the correct hope that we should have, not the false hope, the correct hope is that we put our effort into it. We try our hardest. We do our best. We struggle and we strive and we worship Allah and we try to be sincere and we read the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we fast and we pray and we give charity and we try to do it sincerely and we make efforts to enjoying what is right and forbid what is wrong. So we really try. We try and we make dua and we beg and we seek to acquire taqwa and to learn what it takes. What does it take to have taqwa? What does it mean to truly be of those people who are mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So this is what we do. We make that effort. And then after that effort, then you can hope, right? This is the correct type of hope, okay? That's the correct type of hope. So the sign of taqwa is to engage in worship, and the sign of worship is to refrain from doubtful issues. And the sign of hope is to obey. The sign of hope is to obey. So this is the true hope. This is the correct type of hope. A hope that is linked with obedience. You obey Allah, you obey the Messenger, you keep away from what is haram as much as you can, and then you hope for Jannah. You hope, although you don't deserve it. Let's get this straight, brothers and sisters. No one deserves Jannah. No one. Not even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Not even the Prophet. That's what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said himself. I'm not saying that. That's what the Messenger said. He said, no one gets to Jannah because of their deeds. And the companion said, not even you, Rasulullah. He said, not even me, unless Allah shows mercy upon me. No one is going to get to Jannah because of their deeds, right? Meaning the point being here is that you can't earn Jannah. There's nothing you can do to qualify you to enter that place, that beautiful place where there will be no sadness, no misery, no unhappiness, no hatred, no envy. You will never be hungry. You will never be thirsty. You will never be tired. You will never be sad. In any, every single moment in Jannah will be more beautiful and more pleasurable and more enjoyable than the next. That's what we're struggling for. That's what we're being patient for. That's what all this struggle and effort and fight and that we try to change ourselves, that's what it's all for Jannah. So there's nothing. And how long is that? This Jannah? Forever. Once you go in there, you'll never come out. And Allah will never be displeased with the person in Jannah once they're in there. Never displeased with them. So this is what we are working for, brothers and sisters, right? How can you pay for that? You think that even if you spent your whole life worshipping Allah, you would still deserve Jannah? You still think that that would pay for Jannah? You think you can earn it? You can't, right? You go to Jannah because of the mercy of Allah. Of course, there are things that we do that Allah loves and that causes His mercy to come to us. So, and the things that we do that doesn't. So this attitude of, yeah, I'm going to sin now and repent later. No, this is not the way to earn the mercy and the love of Allah. This is the way to kill your heart. This is the way to kill your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have to be very, very careful about that. And the sign of patience is to shorten false hopes. Subhanallah. This is what Ibn al-Qayyim said. The sign of hope is to obey, and the sign of forbearance is to shorten false hopes. You see, so long before Western psychology had come up with the false hope syndrome, our scholars were already talking about this condition of people, the false hope, right? So brothers and sisters, listen, if we don't make the effort, we shouldn't expect anything. That's the reality. You know, that's the reality. If we don't make the effort and we don't put the time and the energy and we don't spend the money and dedicate ourselves to improving ourselves and improving Islam and improving the condition of the Muslims, if we don't do that, then what right do we have to expect anything? We don't. It's a false hope, brothers and sisters. And you just need to read the Quran and see what happened to the nations who came before us. Why do we think we're different? Allah told us the story of the nations who came before us in order for us to be able to understand. He's giving us a warning. Allah's warning us. He's saying, if you behave like that, what happened to them is going to happen to you. The way that they ended up is going to happen to you as well. So this is a big warning, brothers and sisters, because there were nations before us who were given guidance. But they rejected that guidance. They threw it behind their back. They immersed themselves in the world and the things of the world, and they became lost in it. And so Allah's anger came upon them and His punishment descended upon them. And as I always say, like, who's worse? Imagine two kids in school. One kid has been there for 5 years and the other's just come in like for 2 weeks ago. And they both break the rules. Which one is the headmaster going to be more angry with? The one who knows the rules, who's been there for 5 years, or the one who just got there? The one who just got there has some sort of excuse, right? He should know the rules, but he's got some sort of excuse. But the one who's been there for 5 years, knows the rules inside out and still breaks them, is not going to be treated in the same way at all. He's going to be treated much more harshly. That is an example for us, brothers and sisters. We have to realize that, right? If we disobey Allah, as people who have the Quran, who have the revelation from Allah, do you think we'll be treated more gently? Subhanallah, we have less excuse. Okay, so one scholar, he said, hold firm to five issues. Worship Allah. This is so beautiful, brothers and sisters. So I want to leave you on this, and I want you to think about this beautiful thing. Okay, hold firm to five issues. So the first one, yeah. Worship Allah as much as you need to worship Him. Subhanallah. Right. I mean, you need to worship Allah non-stop, constantly, permanently, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. That's what you need. So meaning, worship Allah as much as you need to worship Him. And our need to worship Allah is the biggest need of all. It is the greatest need of all needs. Take from the world according to your stay in it. In reality, our stay in the world is what? Someone sent me a really amazing story. I don't know if this is true. Check out this story, right? The story is about a billionaire from China. He died, leaving a massive fortune. And his wife married the chauffeur. And the chauffeur said, all this time I thought that I was working for my boss, but I realized that my boss was actually working for me. Think about that. Yeah. Because he got the fortune. He was the chauffeur and the wife married the chauffeur and he got the fortune. And the point being is this guy, this billionaire, worked and worked and worked and made all of this money. For what? He couldn't take it with him. He didn't take it with him. It didn't go with him. What? At the end of the day, how much can you eat? How many clothes of all your clothes you have in your cupboard? Seriously, most of us, me included, of all your clothes in the cupboard, how many of them do you really actually wear? Probably 70% you don't. Okay? Out of the food that we have and different things, how much do we actually use it? The space in our house, how much do we actually use it? Probably 70% we don't. Really, what do we really need, brothers and sisters? Okay? Sin, according to your stamina, to absorb its punishment. There you go. Here you go. Right. So hold on to this. Sin as much as you can take the punishment. So just to see whether you can take the punishment or not, why don't you just light a fire and see if you can hold your hand over the fire, even for, say, 10 minutes, because you won't be able to do it. and the person who has the least punishment in the hellfire is going to have two straps of fire that will make his brain boil. So if you're able to tolerate that, go ahead and sin. But you are not. That means you don't do it. Don't sin, because you can't tolerate the punishment for it. You can't do it. Believe me. Okay? Take provision from the world according to your stay in the grave. And work for paradise as much as you desire to stay there. So I think it's pretty obvious, brothers and sisters, what's that say? Right? So when you do that, then you have, this is real hope. This means you've got a reason to hope. You've got a genuine, sincere reason to hope if you put that effort in. Otherwise, unfortunately, I know a lot of us will keep on fooling ourselves, we'll keep on deluding ourselves, we'll keep on promising that we're going to change, and we really won't change. And by the time it gets, even if we do get to old age, our hearts have become so hard, our bodies have become so feeble, we won't be able to really make any real change in our life anymore. And that would be a tragedy. Brothers and sisters, it's the beginning. It's only 30 days left until Ramadan. 30 days. You know, we should all of us try to make this Ramadan the most amazing Ramadan. But start now. Start now, brothers and sisters. That's what I'm saying to you. This is the month to start now. Okay, start in this month of Sha'ban. It's the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He used to fast a lot in this month of Sha'ban. So this is what we should try and do. Please, if you can, check out masteryclasses.com. Check it out. Have a look at the course, The 7 Pillars of Willpower, and the other courses as well. They will help you a lot. And I have been studying and reading about taqwa, and I know I've promised this so many times now, right? But I have been reading and studying about taqwa, how to acquire taqwa. I can tell you one of the important things to acquire taqwa, it's about killing your nafs. You have to control your nafs. If you want to get taqwa, you have to control your nafs. And that's what my course, Willpower Course, is all about. It is all about nafs control, mastering yourself, controlling your nafs. Very, very important, brothers and sisters. Please benefit yourself and benefit me. And if you do, if you have done the course, if you bought it and haven't done it, please do it. This is the best time to do it now, just before Ramadan. This is the best time to do it because it will launch you into Ramadan in a really, really good way. So please, brothers and sisters, if you've already signed up and you're one of those people who hasn't done it yet, this is the time to start. If you haven't signed up, good opportunity to do it, brothers and sisters. The price is still a good price. Alhamdulillah, it's still low. Alhamdulillah, as low as it's going to go now. So anyway, that's it. Enough me plugging my course. Alhamdulillah. Brothers and sisters, one more reminder. Beware of that false hope syndrome. Don't have false hopes. Don't just get excited by the idea of change. Make the change. Make it real. Make it happen. Put the effort in, put the work in, and then you will see the blessings and the benefits in this life and the next. That's it for me, brothers and sisters. Until next Thursday, inshallah ta'ala, may Allah keep you safe. May Allah bless you. May Allah increase you in iman, and may Allah increase you in taqwa, and may Allah increase you in good deeds, and may Allah make this a very blessed month for you and for all those who you love. And may Allah forgive the believing men and the believing women. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته